I want you to join me in the book of Proverbs again tonight. It's good to be back in the podium on Wednesday nights. I took a few weeks off, and the guys who filled in did a tremendous job and fed me, and I enjoyed listening to them. And but I'm glad to get back and continue our study for the next few weeks in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 14. Would you join me there? Proverbs 14. Now, I want to do this because we've been out of this study for a few weeks. I want to go back and review a little bit, okay? And just hang on to a few things with you. Let's do this. Let's talk about what a biblical proverb is. A biblical proverb, right? So what is a you know, there's proverbs in life, right? You've heard of all these ancient Chinese proverbs. You ever hear them? You know, my favorite is that one. I think I shared this with you. He who run in front of car would get tired. I love that. That's an observation, right? That's a Chinese proverb. But what's a biblical proverb? You want to talk with me? You want to talk back at me? What's a biblical proverb?
I don't know all of it, but it's like a heavenly story. Or something.
A heavenly story? That would be what? Parable. It's all right. You're in the P's. You're in the P's. Proverb, parable, I mean, it's a P. At least you're, right? So a parable would be a heavenly story that teaches a divine, heavenly, biblical truth, or an earthly story that teaches a heavenly truth, right? But what's a parable? Now he's got me saying parable. What's a proverb? What's a proverb?
Wisdom and instruction.
Say it again.
Instruction and wisdom.
Instruction and wisdom. Okay. All right. John. Say what?
Putting in the words, like something that parable would say, but actually saying the words of.
Okay, it's putting in the words. Okay, all right. Shay?
A wise saying is teaching people how to live.
A wise saying that teaches people. How about if we do a concise wise saying, right, that teaches people how to live? Good. Let's look at this biblical definition. You guys help me up there? Throw that up there, if you would. What's a proverb? All right. Look at the statement. A proverb is a statement of wisdom resulting, now get this, resulting from an observation of truth put into practice. Now, it's really important you understand this. Because as you study through the book of Proverbs, there are a lot of proverbs. There's a lot of statements. Concise, wise statements, statements of wisdom, resulting from, now get this, resulting from an observation of truth put into practice, right? So let me put it in maybe terms that we might understand. A proverb is this, it's an observation, right? So Solomon, the wise man, is writing the book Proverbs. He's watching what happens. Now, pay attention right here. He's watching what happens when people put into practice the Word of God. Did you get that? You don't seem to be really amused by that. Look here. You're reading through the book of Proverbs, right? Based upon this definition, a proverb is not a principle. And a proverb is not a promise. There's a big difference. A proverb is an observation of what takes place when people live according to the Word of God. I want to say that one more time. A proverb is an observation of what takes place when people live according to the Word of God. So when you read through the book of Proverbs, Solomon is sharing what he has observed as people put into practice the Word of God. Does that make sense? So what's the difference? All right, so here's a principle. Here's the difference. A principle in the Bible is a statement from God that demands obedience. For example, love your neighbor, right? You know, that's not a proverb. That's a principle. That's a command. The Ten Commandments, right? And I can go on and on with that. Now listen to this. A proverb is an observation of what happens when God's principles are correctly applied. So Solomon might stand back and say this, I've observed that when people love each other the way God encourages them to love each other, such and such is the result. See how that works? Right? My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. That's a proverb. That's Proverbs 1:10, in fact. Right? And so, again, Solomon is giving his take on what occurs when people follow the word of God. A proverb is not a promise. Not a promise. It is not a binding promise that God has made to you. What is a proverb? It's an observation of what takes place, the result of what takes place when someone applies the word of God to their lives. So when you're reading through the book of Proverbs, God's not making promises to you. Can I give you one? Here's one. Here's a famous one. Proverbs 22:6. Anybody know what that says? All parents know that. What is it? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he shall not depart from it. Right? And we have hung on to that like it's a promise, but it's not. Why? It's a proverb. What's the difference? A proverb is an observation of what takes place when somebody correctly applies the word of God to their life. Are you with me? So when we take a proverb and try to make it a promise, we take it out of context. Let's just take that one promise or that one proverb, 22:6. Train up a child the way he should go, when he's old will not depart from it. Right? However, let's be honest now. Have we not seen some young people from good homes, same church, same mom, same dad, same family structure, have we not seen some go? Right? So the only way we could rectify that, the only way we can come up with a conclusion is the parents had to do something wrong in that child's life. Come on now, don't look at me like that, because that's what you think. That's what we think. Why? Because God's promised if we train them up, and so you must have messed up somehow. Come on now, right? But that's not what the Bible teaches. It's not a promise. Because when we look at it that way, we eliminate, now pay attention right here, we eliminate the response of the child. Because some children are responsive and some are not. I've pastored, my wife and I through the years have pastored some great families. And I mean some large families with 7, 8 kids. And these parents, I mean across the board, were very consistent. You know, not perfect parents, none of us are, but very consistent, right? What was good for one was good for all. They didn't adjust. They, if you couldn't do this, your brother or sister couldn't do this. And yet, we've seen some families struggle, where some of the kids just turn out to be wonderful and some not so wonderful. Yeah. Right? Listen to another proverb. Listen to Proverbs 10:1. Listen to this. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. You see the contrast there? Same house. Son and daughter. Right? A wise son, man, it makes his father happy, but a foolish makes his mother miserable. Sad. Same household. There's no indication that they made any changes in rearing. They didn't compromise with the girl. They didn't compromise with the younger. What happened? Different heart. How many of us have more than one children? More than one child? How many of us come to realize they really are different? Huh? They really are different. You know, we have three girls and a boy. The three girls, you would think, man, three girls, same house. They're all, nuh-uh-uh. No way, Jose. They're all different. What's the point I'm trying to make? The point I'm trying to make, this is not a class on rearing your family. The point I'm trying to make is a proverb is a proverb and a promise is a promise. And they're not the same. And you will certainly mess yourself up if you claim a proverb as a promise, because a proverb is nothing more than an observation of what takes place when someone follows the Word of God. So now, someone would say, well, Pastor, isn't it true then, if it's an observation, if somebody does right and trains their kids right, they're going to... True, but let's not forget that there's more than just Proverbs 22:6, there's Proverbs 10:1, and every child's heart is different. Are you with me? And so, we look at the book of Proverbs as I believe it ought to be looked at. You know, and it's divine, it's biblical, it's God's word. But they're observations. And let's not, let me go back to that one promise or one proverb where we think it's a promise. I like what it says, train up a child the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. How many of us have seen some go out and come back in? Right? So our job is to teach them and lay the foundation. And what Solomon said is this, here's what I've noticed, here's what I've observed, that if the parents have done the right thing, they've trained them up in the way they should go. And by the way, it didn't say train them up in Bible college or biblical universities. It didn't say train them up in church. That's training them in all ways.
Yep. Amen.
Huh? Right? I love it when a young man comes up and says, you know, yes, sir, and no, sir. Right? Train them up in all ways, how to be appreciative and grateful, how to manage their money, and along with the biblical aspects or spiritual aspects. Nonetheless, a proverb is a proverb. A principle is a principle. And a promise is a promise. So I want to look tonight at a proverb. I want you to notice chapter 14. I said this last time. When you study through the book of Proverbs, there's different ways of studying it. An interesting way is studying it according to content, right? You can, maybe if the book of Proverbs had a table of contents, it would talk about, you know, finance or marriage or parenting or child rearing or, you know, whatever, just different. But then another way to study is words, just looking at words. So I want to look at a word tonight. I want to look at the word prudent. Look at chapter number 14 and verse 8. It says, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Now, if you were to look, go back for a second, guys. If you were to look in the Bible, you'd find the word prudent mentioned over 24 times, 12 times here in the book of Proverbs, the word prudent. We don't use it much in our language today, right? You don't hear that often. So what is that word prudent or prudence? What does it imply? Look at the word prudence. Prudence is the ability to make wise choices in life. Now go back, read with me again verse number 8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. The ability to make wise choices in life. Prudence. The prudent, flip it. The word prudent means to be shrewd and clever in a positive sense. So if I were to put them together, and I think I did maybe on the handout that I gave you, we would say something like this. A prudent person is a person who avoids future problems by being clever in the present. Huh? That's a prudent person. He's present, he's clever in the, he's shrewd. He takes it all in. You with me?
Yes.
Have you ever heard this term before? Have you ever heard this term? That person is a simpleton. Did you ever hear that? That's outdated, isn't it? How many of you young people have never heard simpleton? Proverbs chapter 1, verse 4. Flip it, guys. Look at this Bible verse. The Bible says, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Now, I think we understand what the young man is. But what's the simple? What's a simple person? He didn't say stupid or dumb or ignorant. He's not being ugly here. He's making an observation. And he's saying to give some... So what's the purpose of Proverbs? To give subtlety to the simple. Well, what's a simple person? Here's what the Bible would say about a simple person. They are vulnerable. Or you like this word, naive. Naive. So, the book of Proverbs, God has given us Proverbs so that we are not vulnerable or naive, or that we don't behave like a simple person. We are not labeled as a simpleton. You with me? Let me broaden that. A naive person, a gullible person. People who are easily tricked because they lack discernment. How many of us know somebody like that? People who make the same mistakes over and over. They're simple. People who enter into bad relationships over and over. I was listening to a message the other day, and this preacher talked about what it means to be simple. And he told a story about a little fellow who was trying to sell his puppy. And he went to his neighbor, and he said, hey, and we'll call the guy Jack. He said, hey, Jack, I'm trying to sell my puppy for $10, but nobody wants to buy it. And Jack said, well, it's because you got the price too low. He said, nobody thinks it's worth anything. You got to raise the price. And so he said, how about if I sell it for $100? He said, well, that's a little steep, but see what you can do. So the little fellow went out, came back a couple days later. He said, hey, Jack, I sold the puppy for $100. He said, you sold it for $100? How'd you do that? He said, well, I sold it for two cats worth $50 each. Naive. Gullible. Are you with me? Huh? I wouldn't give you two plug nickels for a cat. You sold them for $50 each. There you go. I forgot that person's over there. So, a prudent person, now get this, has learned how to break that cycle. Right? A simple person, they're naive, they're gullible, they believe anything. They fall into things, you know, just over and over and over, doing the same thing over and over. But a prudent person has learned how to break that cycle. So I want to share with you from the book of Proverbs, because this is a study out of Proverbs. How many of you read the book of Proverbs all the time? All right, let's talk about the prudent and the qualities of a prudent person. All right, let's look at that for the next couple of minutes. Notice chapter 18 with me and verse number 15. Now, I was pretty kind tonight, and I gave you a handout with some of these Bible verses there. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 15 says this, "The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge." Right? And so I'm going to give you four statements or four qualities of a prudent person. The first one is this, they gather information. A prudent person gathers information. Now, you can take that in any area you want. As an employee, as an employer, as a mother, as a father, as a student, as a son, a daughter, as a sibling, you know, in the workplace, at school, at church. If you're prudent, you're somebody who likes to gather information, what the Bible says about a prudent person. They gather information. Now get this, they gather information before they act. Or should I say, react. Or respond, right? They're prudent. Proverbs 13:16. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. And so a prudent person has made proper assessments. Did you get that? Prudent person. So how is he today capable of living in such a way that he's preparing for the future? I tell you, he's making wise decisions because he's taking in all the, he's gathering information. A foolish person, well, they deceive themselves. They think they already know what's best, right? Foolish person is impulsive. They just act, maybe react, without having all the information. I remember pastoring in Pennsylvania a number of years ago. And when I did, we had a Christian school, and I loved our school. I did. I loved our school. Our school was a blessing to me. I loved it. I loved every day going into it, being able to monkey with the kids and leave. Did you miss that part? I loved it. I was able to go in, monkey with the kids, and leave. I wasn't the school administrator, wouldn't want to be. But I had a school administrator, Kevin. And there would be times when, if you know anything about Christian school, there's some folks in here teaching school, and Deb Dell's teaching school, Christy teaches in school, Kevin has for a lot of years. Anybody else? Yeah, there go a couple ladies right over there. It's a lot of work. Them kids are adorable, but you can't wait for the end of the day. And you're glad they go home, you know. And you got 5 days a week to do that. And sometimes it gets heavy. And so I remember this. I remember what the teacher used to do when it was overwhelmed. They'd take it to the administrator and overwhelm him. And you know what he would do when he was overwhelmed? He'd try to find me. And I would be hiding out in my office. And he would come in sometimes and he'd say, "Pastor, I got to talk to you." I said, "Sure, come on in." And he would lay out the scenario. And early on, you know, I just took him at his word. You know, figuring he's done his homework. And so I'd say, "Okay, get me so-and-so, or make an appointment with that parent, do this, get that teacher in here." And there would be times, and preacher, maybe you've been in this environment, there would be times when I'm sitting there with proverbial egg on my face. How many know what I'm talking about? I was given faulty information. And I'm acting upon this faulty information. I wasn't very prudent. And so I remember being burned a few times and having to clean my face and say, "I'm sorry and I apologize," to parents or staff or students. And by the way, I had to apologize to students sometimes because we judged them wrongly. Didn't hear the whole story, just acted upon it. And I remember doing this. I remember calling in my staff to a meeting one time, my A team, you know, the pastors and so on. And I remember saying this, "Fellas, you have to, from here on out, before you bring anything to me, make sure you give me," and here's the terminology, "give me good intelligence." Give me good intelligence. Make sure when you bring it to me, you've looked at it from every angle. Now, don't you think that would work in any area of life? As a parent, as an employee, as an employer, as a church member, as a deacon, we've got deacons in this room. Make sure you're giving me, see, that's a prudent person. They're making decisions based upon good intelligence. Right? Are you with me? Qualities of the prudent. They look to gain good intelligence on a matter before they act upon it. Let me give you a second quality. Here's a second quality. Look at Proverbs chapter 12, verse 23. Again, I put that on the card there for you, I believe. Look what it says here about the prudent. Verse 23. "A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of the fool proclaims foolishness." Right? So here's a second quality. They never show their hand. They never show their hand. Right? That's card playing terminology. Did you ever play Clue? Or not Clue, but Uno? Let me play Uno. Right? You don't show your hand to everybody, do you? No, I was going to say poker, but Preacher Riddell's here, and I don't want to offend him. Show your hand, everybody. No, man, you keep that protected, right? My wife and I, when we're taking some time off and we're just sitting around the house, I probably shouldn't say this, but we like to play gin rummy, not for money. We play for dessert. You know. And man, I'll tell you, Craig, she beats me all the time. Beats me all the time. Sometimes we play 500. Ever play 500? She beats me all the time. And I'm always trying to figure out what she's got going on over there. You know, "Hon, would you give me some tea?" Should I take a peek? But a prudent person doesn't reveal. Pay attention right here. A prudent person doesn't reveal everything he knows. I like that. When you do that, you limit your options. I mean, you just... That's what a fool does. A fool utters all his mind, the Bible says, book of Proverbs. Right? Whatever he's got going on, he just utters it. But not a prudent person. No, they're real careful with what they reveal. Now, listen carefully. That doesn't mean the prudent man lies or practices deceit. No, not at all. He just keeps things to himself until the right time to reveal it. Right? He's wise with that. Foolish person reveals everything he knows. Did you ever hear the statement? Someone said this. If you keep quiet, you take away any chance of someone thinking you to be a fool. But as soon as you open your mouth sometimes, right? I may mention on Sunday morning, I made a little light of it about my mom. Preacher, I mentioned my mom like you did the week before. My mom was a great interrogator. And you know what my mom used to do? My mom used to lead me to believe she knew more than she really knew. And she'd get me every time. You know? She'd come in and she'd say, sit down right now. What's up, Mom? What were you doing? And I'm saying to myself, how in the world did she find out? She had no idea. And here I am confessing to the crime she didn't even know about. She was really good like that. You know? You ever been interrogated like that before? Somebody just puts the screws to you? Proverbs 12, verse number 16 says this. Listen. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. You know what that means? That means a prudent man has a poker face. You can't tell what he's thinking. You don't know what's going on. He's prudent. Let me give you another quality. Look at chapter 15, verse number 5. By the way, I'm just picking out some Proverbs. 15:5. It says, a fool despises his father's... Is that where I want to be? Verse 15, verse 5. A fool... Yeah. But he that regardeth reproof is what? So a fool, what does he do? He despises instruction. He despises correction. But a prudent person welcomes reproof. You know what reproof is? What's reproof? It's correction. Right? Rebuke. A rebuke is just a little bit stronger of a verbal reproof. You know, it's just taking it to the next level. Right? A prudent person, what do? Man, they grow through that. They learn from that. And so the idea is this. They learn, number three, they learn from their mistakes. We all make mistakes. Even when we try to minimize it, we make mistakes. A wise person recognizes when they do wrong and they learn from it so they don't repeat it again. That's a prudent person. Right? How many of us used to try to say to our children, you know, learn from somebody else's mistake? Right? You saw your friend there in school, you know, cheated on that exam, and you know what happened to them, right? So why in the world did you go and cheat on that exam? You should have learned from, but it just doesn't work that way, does it? We just got to make those mistakes for ourselves. But at least maybe we can learn from it. Stubbornness can hurt you. Proverbs 29, verse number 1, look at it. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. That's a stubborn person. Can't tell them anything. Rebuke not a scorner. Isn't that what the Bible says, book of Proverbs? Right? It's just not worth it. And so, like our text says in Proverbs chapter number 14, verse 8 and verse 18, the simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Or in other words, here's what that teaches. Knowledge results in further knowledge. I love that about our relationship with the Lord and being a child of God. When you use what you have, when you use what God gives you, He gives you more. Amen. Did you ever see how that works? Do you ever read the New Testament where it's kind of where He gives you light to light? If you use the light you have, He gives you more light. And by the way, that word light there is just knowledge. There's a little knowledge. There's a little light in every man, John chapter number 1. A little light in every man. There's a little truth in every man. And that truth leads us to Him, which then is more truth. And then it's faith to faith. If you use the faith you have, God will increase your faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And it's grace to grace, and I mean, we can go on and on. What he's saying here in this text of Scripture is knowledge increase, give you further knowledge. So when you use what God has given you, God will give you more. That's wonderful, isn't it? The prudent are crowned with knowledge. Prudent person. And then notice one final thought. Look in chapter 22, Proverbs 22 and verse number 3. Says this, a prudent man foreseeth the evil. And what's he do? He hides himself. He gets out of the way. He sees it coming. And he hides himself. But the simple, they pass on and they're punished. They're just jump right in the middle of it. And so the last thing is this, a prudent person is able to think ahead. They think ahead. Evil doesn't disappear if you ignore it, by the way. Right? We're confronted with it all the time. Smart thing to do is get out of the way. get out of the way. A couple weeks back, I was asked to do the eulogy, really preach the message for Neil Mallon, passed away, went to heaven. And so I asked the family if he had a favorite Bible verse, you know. And I mean, without hesitation, Neil and Valerie said 1 Corinthians 10:13, just like that, no hesitation. They just said, well, we'll get back to you. And I just, bam, that was it. And so I said, great, I appreciate that. And they gave me a few others as well, but that was top of the list. And so I kind of just mulled on that for a little bit. And I thought, man, that's a great Bible verse to have as a life verse or one of your favorite Bible verses, right? You know what it says, right? For there has no temptation taken you, but such as is what? Common to man. In other words, everybody goes through it. Everybody faces it, right? And that word temptation there, you can take it either way. You know, it's either a solicitation to do evil or a trial of your faith. There's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. In other words, everybody, every child of God will be tempted. But, you know, next three words? God is faithful. Huh? God is faithful. And I love this. He says, and God is faithful, who will with the temptation, with the trial, with the difficulty, give you a way to what?
Escape
that ye might be able to bear it. That's awesome. That's an awesome Bible verse. Go back to that proverb, Proverb 22, verse 3. He said again, a prudent man foresees the evil. What's he do? He looks for a way to escape it. He tries to get out of the way. He doesn't put himself in the middle of it. He sees it coming. He's prudent. He sees it coming. Are you with me? Do I need to make this personal? How many know? You know what he's talking about there? Maybe what he's saying to us tonight is we need to make sure we keep our guard up. The gate closed. Huh? Look here. I'm an older man now. I almost said an old man. Don't let me say that, Lil, please. And I'm an older man now. And I've been saved for a long time. I've been in the ministry for a long time. I don't have an immunity card. I wish I did, preacher. I wish after you turn a certain age or you've been preaching for, you're immune to it. It doesn't bother you, but it does bother me. And so, look here. I love watching sports. That's my wife. I love watching the Phillies game. Well, sometimes. And football's coming up soon, and ice hockey. I love that. And sometimes, I'll be honest with you, sometimes I'm watching, but I'm not watching. You know what that means? I'm just kind of like oblivious. I'm just kind of... And all of a sudden, like, and I sit there, I promise you, and Donna never fights me. I sit with a remote in hand. I'm a flipper. I hate commercials. Huh? I'm all over the place during commercials. I'm watching 35 shows at the same time of commercials. But Bob Smith, when that commercial where the lady is talking about a new undergarment that she's wearing, and I don't sit, Donna, do I sit there and watch it? You can tell the truth. We're in church. Well, first thing, and she doesn't look to me like, it's gone. It's gone. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because I'm a sanctified man, and I don't want that to get in my brain. Ah, you're an old guy. You've been married for 100 years. No, I still got red blood in my veins, and it's still inappropriate.
Yeah, it's true.
I walk away from conversation where someone is using vulgar language. I don't laugh at it. And I'm telling you something. Mrs. Genizzi and I are deeply involved in a Hallmark movie. If we're watching the movie and they use the Lord's name in vain, it's gone.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Yeah.
I mean, we both look at each other and say, man, why'd they have to do that? Why'd they have to do that? But it's gone. We don't play games like that. Look here. Nobody's around. I got no little kids around. I got no little kids around. Nobody's looking over my shoulder. I could at least say to my wife, could you believe they said that? No, it's gone. And she doesn't say, why'd you turn it off? No, we know. It's gone. Why? I'll tell you why. because I want my tolerance level. I want my gate to stay closed. I want to keep my heart clean and pure. I want to be right with God. I want to pray and know that God is listening. I want to preach with His power and His favor upon my life. I want to live right. I want to be under the fountainhead of His blessing. And that takes you and I being prudent. You can't get away with that stuff. Been on the golf course with Steve, and sometimes we're forced to play with other people. I hate when they do that. I do, because you never know who you're going to play with. And most of the time, they're vulgar. And so when they begin their vulgarity, I'm immediate. First, usually when we introduce ourselves, hey, what's your name? I'm Sal. What do you do? I'm pastor. I'm a pastor of a church. That usually quiets things down. But if it doesn't, they start up, I just walk away. I don't listen to their jokes. It's disgusting. We've lost that level in our lives. And I don't make a big stink about it. We're at the public golf course. I don't say, hey, you curse one more time, I want to tell on you. Who are you going to tell? I'm not going to tell. No, I protect myself. God is faithful. He'll give me a way to escape it. But I'm sorry to say that there's a lot of us that don't take that escape route because we think we can handle it. We can't handle it. That's why we have these observations. That's why we have these proverbs. That's why we have God's word. So we don't put ourselves in that predicament. Solomon said this, here's what I've noticed. I've noticed what happens when someone lives according to the word of God. That's a proverb. And I can go on and on and on with these proverbs because there's so many of them. That's what he's talking about in this text of Scripture. Proverbs 14, verse 16 said this, A man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rages and is confident. In other words, don't let your emotions blind you. A prudent man fears God, thinks before he acts, gathers all the information, learns from their mistakes because we make them. Correct? We make mistakes. I found myself this morning, I like to tell on myself. It's kind of like it reminds me of being a Catholic where I'm confessing my sin. I found myself this morning on Williamstown Road, because you know Malik Road's backed up, and Williamstown Road now, everybody in South Jersey takes Williamstown Road now. And I'm trying to get over to the church because I just had to get here. I didn't have an appointment. It was only 8:15. Nobody was here, but I had to get here. And the person in front of me was taking a little bit too long to turn. You ever been in that predicament? Well, I wanted to give him a piece of my mind. But I just prayed, Lord, would you help me to live according to kingdom rules? And you know what he said to me? You haven't learned yet, have you? You haven't learned yet. And I got so discouraged. I went down to the corner. Wawa bought a 26-ounce coffee. No, I just said, Lord, I'm a mess. I need your help. I need your grace. Huh? But I'm so glad He reminds me. I'm so glad the Holy Spirit whispers in my ear, haven't you learned yet? What's your hurry? Huh? But here's what I've learned, Steve, and I'm going to close with this. This is the truth. Go ahead in South Jersey and try to drive slow. Go ahead. You won't be worried about the people in front of you. You'll be yelling at the people behind you because they're in your rear seat. Right? Amen? Come on, tell it. Testify, church. I hope you read the book Proverbs. I do. I hope you study through it. We're going to spend another couple of weeks in it, and then we're going to go through a different study. But I hope you read through it, try to understand it, and take those wise observations and recognize this. When you and I, when we live according to the Word of God, good things will be the result thereof. Amen? That's all I got for you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to gather tonight. Thank you for the opportunity we had to pray and bring before your throne people's names that we care about and love, people you care about and love, our brothers and sisters. Praying for a great week, end of the week this week, great services on the Lord's Day, great activity next week on property, great outreach. And I pray you'll help us, Lord, to just work at being prudent people, taking in the Word of God and living it accordingly, and just gathering as much information we can from it so we can be best suited to live for you, best suited to serve you. Dismiss us now with your blessing. Give us traveling mercies and safety, we pray. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
You are dismissed, church. Have a great night.